So let's have a word of prayer and we will begin. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to study your word and just take some basic concepts here that can be life-changing. Thank you for the material that's been given to us that we're using. I pray that you give us wisdom now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are talking today, believe it or not, about expanding your mind. That's an interesting topic, but I do think for ladies and for men in our day, there is a real problem of getting stuck where we are in our lives because of all the pressures that we have. If you're rearing children, it's very easy for you to get stuck personally and not expand. And then that habit can continue right on into non-childbearing time, where you get into ruts and routines of things that you do and you just don't really develop your mind. I am convinced that part of, I know there's a lot of physiological reasons, but part of the dementia issue of our day is the lack of development of the mind. And I really came into understanding of how important developing the mind was when we went through what we did with my son, and we were told that the only way he could seem even halfway normal would be for him to really learn. And so from about three till school age, I had intensive teaching for him, music lessons and development, and though he still shows some of the lacks because of the surgery that he had, you just about ask him anything. he is reading all the time. He is constantly learning, which keeps him in the realm of normal thinking, which has been very helpful. So I'm a big believer in you can really develop your mind, and of course spiritually you can develop yourself if you decide to do that. She talks about her mother-in-law, how she went through the depression, didn't get to go beyond the eighth grade, but decided later to get her GED, then went eventually to college and developed herself, and it made quite a bit of difference in her life. And she gives other illustrations about even her own husband, what he went through, and how continually progressing is a very important thing. One thing I'll never forget, you've heard me probably mention it in the marriage series when I talk about it, was the night before I got married, I had both my father-in-law and my father give me a lot of time and counsel, which was really neat to have that privilege. And my father, one of the key things he told me was, keep your wife up with you on what you're learning, because a pastor has to learn. I mean, I'm constantly having to listen, learn, all that. I'm so thankful for that. But don't let, as children come along, don't let your wife be behind on that. And so I remember endeavoring to have her read the books that I read, hear the things that I heard, be at some of the places that I got to go to keep her right up with me. And now she has this constant desire to keep learning, which I think is very, very important. So it's good advice. I really appreciate him, because I might have really missed that, to be honest with you. And I think that's where sometimes pastors and others live in one realm and their wife in another realm. And that disconnect can really hurt the children. And so, now, you got to be careful here. We have way too much with the young women of pure professional thinking and not having a perspective on motherhood. And that is a great danger. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about with right priorities and being very happy during the child-rearing years to be a homemaker, and being very happy about being a helpmeet throughout your life. Keeping that as foremost and following biblical principles. But if you really want to be an interesting wife and a challenging mother, you need to keep growing. Spiritually, number one, but part of that is going to be mental growth, to keep developing your mind. And so her whole emphasis here is to be a lifelong learner. And I think that is just tremendous advice for ladies. And I remember a year ago, Mrs. Schultz, several years ago, Mrs. Schultz said, you know, the thought of leaving my kids for 10 days or 11 days to go on this Bible Lands trip, I just don't know if I can do it. I said, they'll survive, number one, but you're going to bring the whole Bible Lands back to each one of them. And afterwards, she told me that's exactly right. Everything my mother learned, and my mother was a learner. Oh, man, she was one academic person. Everything that she learned, I got. So remember, you're not just learning for yourself. You are learning for those that you impact. And by the way, adult children love it when their mother's on the cutting edge of things that are important. You know, you can have great conversations and you can point your daughters to good things and wholesome things to read and challenge them. So you're not just developing your own mind, you are taking that and it becomes part and parcel of other people's lives. So learning as a lifestyle is really her emphasis in this chapter. And so she talks about committing to read every day. That's probably one of the biggest things that you can do. You know, how do you get books? Today it's not hard. You ought to listen out for books. Brother Forrester, as he was giving me the microphone, told me he just came across another book by Tony Rinke. He's the one that wrote that tremendous book about the use of smartphones and the devastating impact. He's got one out on entertainment now that is just unbelievably revealing. Not talking about the content, talking about the habit. And so, guess what? I will read that, and guess who else will read that? My wife will pick that up and she'll preach it. I'll talk about it. But I pretty much know how that'll go. But I know it's backwards, but some of those kind of things. So be listening out. Now you can read the wrong books. And by the way, there are books that are easy to read and there's books that aren't quite as easy to read. Many times the profitable ones are the ones that aren't as quite as much fun to read. Okay? I must say, the last thing any lady needs to do is have a habit of romance novels. It'll make you dissatisfied with your husband, and it will give you a wrong concept on emotions and what life is about and make you a very unhappy woman. So that's not what I'm talking about. That's not furthering your mind. That's messing up. You know, sometimes you can read a fun novel, but that's like candy. You know, too much candy will mess you up. You really need, hate to say it, you need to eat your vegetables. Boy, am I hearing that these days, you know. And that's good. I'm beginning to really. What's that?
Are you eating lots of vegetables?
I am. I'm eating more vegetables than I've ever looked at in my life, and I'm telling you. But you know, when that's all you're eating, they do begin to taste good. So I miss that steak. I'm still not over that yet, but that's okay. I will survive. There are creative ways to get around it. It's important to ask yourself, how am I using my discretionary time? You know, you need a discretionary time. You need time for yourself, but it's not just vegging out, because you never feel good about that. When you want to just relax, learn. Sometimes you can do activity, sometimes it's exercise, sometimes it's other things, but a good routine to get into is to give yourself some time every day to expand your mind and to learn things that are important. You know, each phase of your life, you're going to want to learn things that are very much applicable to your life, but then you want to expand beyond that. And of course, you want there to be spiritual help on a regular basis too. You might read a secular book, then I turn around and read a really godly, spirit-empowered book. And so you want to have a good diet of that. We have a huge library in our own home of just a tremendous, I think we have just about every biography on that there is out there, Christian biography, and I love to reread those. And then books by Andrew Murray, books by James Stewart, books by Maxwell, books by Torrey, books, by, I'm losing some of those authors, but anyway, they are a great help. All right, she has some concepts here about learning. Learning is an attitude. You have to get out of being stuck in existing. You never want to just survive, ladies, in anything. You want to keep expanding yourself, but not be selfish, okay? Some ladies escape into developing themselves because they are not handling their responsibilities with their husband and with their children. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, for the sake of being the kind of woman God wants you to be, you need to have the attitude, I need to keep expanding my mind. Your motive is everything. And I want to encourage you, books over visual. Books over visual. Very important that you don't get into the habit of watching too many things, because that can get you into an addiction of just being a passive observer. I know there can be very instructive videos and things, and everything's on the internet these days, but you can get really stuck on those things. And it's much better, if you find out about one of those, find the book that goes with it and read the book. Then you can refer back to the book. And you can get books online real easily and have them right there, so it's not a hard thing to do. I like the in-hand paper books, but anyway, I will do whatever I have to do. Books are very important. So you want to, as an attitude of learning, keep growing in your heart for the Lord, keep growing in your head so that you can be as well-versed and balanced as possible under the Lord's leadership. Remember, learning is cumulative. It builds upon itself. You learn one thing, it will lead to another thing. It will give you insight into new things. One thing that I love is history, and I'm constantly trying. I mean, there are so many angles to history that I've just learned some things about the preceding the French Revolution and how that worked with England and of course, the revival in England versus what happened in France and what happened after France leading up to Napoleon and all of those things. Very interesting. And it has impact today because there are a lot of similarities to what happened to France and what's happening to the United States right now. And so there's a cumulative effect. You learn that, you want to learn a little bit more. I need to figure out this, I need to figure out that. I spent some time a year ago trying to figure out North Korea. You know, where did that come from and what's going on there and what was the history? I read a very, not too easy to read book about North Korean history just before the Korean War. Wow, it was very, very insightful. And so those things are just helpful to keep your mind going. Learning is not dependent on your IQ. You say, well, I'm not very smart. It's because you're not learning, okay? Your mind is an amazing thing. You're using but a fraction of it. Start pressing your mind to do a lot more. You'll be amazed at how you can learn. It's all about your DQ, she calls it, your desire quotient. Instead of IQ, DQ. Listen, some of the most brilliant medical people, scientists, other folks are folks that didn't measure out with high IQs. It was sweat. It was labor. It was desire. And then their mind really did become expert. Yes, ma'am. Wars, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great study. You've heard me talk about that on several occasions. No, I picked that up. I'm sure it's probably somewhere, but not that I know of. I've just picked it up as I've read about the Korean Revival. What happened after the Korean Revival? The Korean War. What happened after we talked about it Sunday morning, about the tremendous move of God in Vietnam and Cambodia, with Pastor Gilmore coming into an area that had not been reached, and there's a strong church of 700. Where'd that come from? From the revival of the 1970s in Cambodia, and back in the 1960s in Vietnam, but the Vietnam War and the Khmer Rouge wiped that out. And a great war in Australia, I mean a great, excuse me, not war, but revival in Australia was wiped out by all the young men. There was just a huge young man's move of God. Lionel Fletcher was the evangelist that led in that. Tens of thousands of young men had given themselves to the ministry. The Australian military unit was one of the first ones to hit the front lines in World War I, and they were decimated. So, I mean, on and on I could go. But see, oh no, yeah, but anytime you see a move of God, it doesn't solve problems. It certainly solves problems for people that are reached, but you're now into a battle when you see God work. Now, by the way, that's a good example, what she just brought up. All right, I started going one thing after another. Well, those things that I've talked about, I read the book on Fletcher. I've read about Shelton on Vietnam. I've read couple of books on the Cambodian revival, one major one prior to the Khmer Rouge. So there isn't one book, but I came up with my understanding of that by reading. So I appreciate you bringing that up. It just gets you thinking, you know, it helps you get a wider perspective on what's going on. All right, learning has no boundaries except those you place on yourself. You can learn as much as you're able to learn by putting enough time to it, and you want to continue to develop. By the way, lest I forget it, for your children, one of the best ways for them to develop a mind that can really develop, can really learn, is to learn piano first and foremost, because every aspect of the brain is used in piano. I'm talking about when they read piano and do that. And then, of course, strings really helps. And, of course, you know the program we have here. But piano is vital. Even if the child never uses piano, it will really help them. Now, the reason I bring this up, though, is how many of you dabbled with piano in your childhood? May I see your hands? How many of you that have a piano? How many of you are working on your piano? Okay, good job, Debbie. And good job, Jolene. All right, that helps you develop. I would encourage you. You say, I never have touched a piano. You know, you can get a keyboard. Of course, the keyboard's got to be good enough to feel the right way. But piano is one of the best ways to get your mind going. You will feel like a real idiot when you first start, but it will be good. And one thing that we worked with Wayne III, going back to what he had to go through with radiation and so forth, was piano, piano, piano. And you could tell that it was not the easiest thing for him to start off with, but he became pretty proficient. You'd be surprised. Actually, someday I ought to surprise everybody, have him sit down and play a piano special for church. I think you'd be thrilled with him. And he can do it. And it really has helped him. So a musical instrument, music is one way that adults, I know many adults in their 40s and 50s, though it's not easy, it's so easy to learn at 3 and 4. You know, you'll never become what you could have been if you started at 3, 4, 5. You can become pretty decent, but you know who gains? You gain just by the mental development of it. In fact, we have adults here that take lessons in our music school, and I commend them for it. The pressure of doing that and trying to achieve something. So just a thought, I mean, I'm not promoting that, but that's probably one of the most mind-expanding aspects, is to play piano. It will help you. Learning does not require social status or money. It's free, basically, if you go to the library. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done, what your past is, you can learn. Learning has its own rewards. And of course, her whole theme is A Beautiful Life. and beautiful life in the Lord, but it really will help you. And by the way, when you start learning just across the board, you're going to become quite the learner when it comes to spiritual things, if you keep that as your top motive. Because a lot of ladies don't grow spiritually because they just don't read anything. They don't listen to anything. They're not stimulated. They're stuck. They're in their own little routine. And when you start reading and all of a sudden, you know, concepts you've been hearing from the pulpit or hearing in different places, now you begin to see all the different nuances and you get challenged with the examples and you get encouraged. And I'm telling you, one good Spirit-empowered book can change your life. It is really amazing. I can go back and I can tell you some of the key books that changed my life at key moments. And I think it's very important. And of course, I like her last one. Learning has an ultimate priority, knowing more about Jesus Christ. Reaching forth. That's what we want to be constantly doing. Moving forth, forgetting those things which are behind. Press toward the mark. That ought to be our heartbeat. Second Peter says, grow in grace. And we need to be growing all the time. Now, I think we all understand this. God gave us the brain. He gave us the brain not to just take up space in our skull, okay? And to cause us to basically function. Our brain is something that the neurological world still has not figured out. I've talked to great neurosurgeons because of my interaction in that realm, and neurologists and so forth, and they say we only know about this much of the vast amount of knowledge about the brain. We know a lot about the heart. We know a lot about the other systems, but the neurological system is still a massive mystery. Well, God has given that to us, and when you read the book of Proverbs, let's just go to Proverbs 1 for just a moment here, because you see the emphasis here put upon learning. In fact, you could just repeat that throughout these first few chapters. But Proverbs 1 verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now you have both the idea of learning, but learning through counsel, learning through direction, and then to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You've got to start with a heart for that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, but my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and so forth. So, the need to keep growing in a spiritual understanding and all the way around. God gave us a brain to be able to know Him and to understand truth. Now, it can be, too, that some of you might want to take some online learning. Now, you got to be careful, again, what you're listening to. And if you're wanting to take a course online about the Bible, would you please check with me first? I'll check on it for you. I'll take the time to make sure who the professor is, what the textbook is, and what you're going to be consumed with for the next several weeks. But there's that opportunity if you have the time to press. Now, one thing, those of you that are from Falls Baptist, you have the right, according to our policies, that to audit one course per semester. So you can just do that. And so that is something, because the college is here and our church has given so much for it. And some of our folks, like Joan, has taken advantage of that. And so we've had several of our folks, and you can take it for credit too, by the way, if you want the pressure of the tests and so forth. And it's fun sometimes to have our folks sitting out there you'll feel young again with all those young kids, you know. And of course, you'll be a bit intimidated because they're in the swing of it. You can actually outdo them because you're mature. You got it made, you know.
Don't go that far.
Yes, okay. Well, I'm trying to encourage you. Now, the one thing you might get intimidated with is writing the paper, if you're going to take it for credit. But that would be good for you. All right. We would help you. But anyway, I just throw that out. Online learning.
But it is really good. I'm thinking Hebrew history this time.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I think that's really good for Joan to do that. I think that has been very helpful.
My memory is not really good, but mm-hmm.
Well, he's a good one because he has a lot of answers, but
he'll also do like this
and keep moving at times too, because he has his goal of what he's going to get done. So, but anyway, so I just bring that up. There's lots of opportunities out there to develop. All right, here she gives some principles. We'll finish with this. Choose to be a zealous reader. The main thing of learning aren't these other things. It's books, 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 okay? Not watching, books, books. And learn to be a zealous reader. And by the way, you don't just cursory read. Read and take notes, underline, but do your best to, you want to read with speed, but you want to read with understanding. And again, you want books on training, you want books that will inform you. Definitely, you've got to rotate spiritual food, strong books on your spiritual life. And of course, never replace reading your Bible with reading books. That needs to be first, foremost, and make that. But you know what will happen? If you get back to the habit of reading, you will get back to a good perspective on reading your Bible. It will help you. You know, we really do get stuck, folks. Get into a real lethargic perspective. Choose to ask questions. In fact, you can learn from people that know something. And sometimes you can have a good conversation and isn't that what Proverbs 1 said? Be instructed. Get wise counsel. In fact, people that know something might point you to another book, might point you to something that can really help you. So be inquisitive. Observe the lives of others. Not in a way that you feel intimidated, but things that you see that are positive, there are things that you can take note of. Choose to learn from the experiences of others. It is so important. We make our high school students go and find a World War II veteran. They're hard to find now. I'm going to have to go to Korean War veterans. But to ask them about their experiences. Many of them don't like to talk about it, but with a kid, they'll do it. And there's a lot that can be learned from that. And by the way, grandchildren ought to be asking questions of grandparents. And a lot of times, families don't even know their own background. And then there's just so many experiences. But the written form of that is what? A biography. Biographies ought to be a staple. In fact, if you want to build a library, get a good bibliography of godly, well-written biographies, and they'll be stirring. They are unforgettable for your children. And if your children are immersed in biographies, they're going to see life not from a secular worldview. They're going to see it from a sacrificial, spirit-empowered worldview. And I'm telling you, my heart got stirred reading biographies. And that's a bait. My wife had my kids read about every biography there was. They loved it. And I know that made a great deal of difference. They weren't watching television, so they weren't having competing worldviews coming into their mind. Now, we had our kids involved and some orchestras and things are out there in the world so they could learn some of that, but we protected them for the most part very much in that regard. Choose to stretch yourself. Like I said, take a course, do something. You might get into a hands-on learning experience about how to do a craft, maybe a cooking class or something that will help you in regard to developing yourself in a certain area. It can just be a fun learning thing. Doesn't have to be, but it's nice when it's useful. You know, many women don't know really how to sew. I mean, you might just say, you know, I'm going to learn to do that. You know, it's just something I've always known I should know. So just take it a step at a time. Take advantage of every day. that you have. And she said, the importance of today. Today's good decisions will give you freedom to choose greater opportunities tomorrow. Today's good habits will give you the greater discipline for choosing to accept greater challenges tomorrow. Today's good attitudes will equip you to choose and run the greater race and for winning the greater prize, 1 Corinthians 9:24. So, what new things can I learn today? What can I learn from today? How can I be stretched in some aspect of my life today? How can I become more Christ-like today? Good thinking. That's, again, a subject that I probably would have missed in this subject had it not been in the book. And that's what I appreciate about these books, because they do take the angles from a woman's perspective. Because many women, just because they're not many times pressed professionally, are not learning. And you don't want to get stuck. You really don't. You want to keep developing.